is Veronica Bellino from Life of Agony. You are listening to my offbeat interview at Sick Drummer Magazine.
Hey all, this is Jed of Sick Drummer Magazine, and today's guest is Veronica Bellino. She's a New York native drummer, songwriter, singer. She's co-written songs with DMC, worked with LL Cool J, played with the legendary drummer Carmen Appice's slam group, worked with another legend in Jeff Beck, played in tons of other bands and projects, and is currently the drummer in the band Life of Agony. Thank you for joining us today, Veronica.
Hey, Jed, thank you. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Veronica, when somebody goes down the list like that of all you've accomplished, is it hard to believe sometimes that already you've done so much musically?
I was actually, like, raising my eyebrows as you were introducing me there. I was like, holy shit, she's got, like, the whole thing down. it is wild sometimes to think about all the things that I've done through the years and who I've played with and things that have happened in my life. It's definitely wild, but I'm grateful for everything.
And now you play other instruments as well. I mean, what was your first instrument, and when did you start to become interested in drums and pretty much making it the instrument you play most?
Oh, well, my first instrument was actually the guitar. I think I was about 10 or 11 years old. I started getting into music and listening to bands like Nirvana and, Sepultura, Pearl Jam, and Korn. And I told my parents I wanted to play guitar and learn music. So for my 11th birthday, they got me a red electric guitar. And I started taking some lessons and learning how to play chords and, you know, getting my grasp around music. And then maybe sometime later, maybe a year or so after that, I just started getting more into the drums. I had friends that played drums in school, so I would go over their house and we'd have like little jams and little parties, and I could play a beat kind of like right away. Like, it just came sort of natural. So I said, you know, I think I like the drums now. And my mom was like, okay, well, we'll see. You know, and then she like rented me like a cheap drum kit, and I started taking lessons, drum lessons, and my teacher told my mom that I actually was pretty good, that he was like, yeah, she actually does have a sort of natural ability for this. I think she's going to stick with it. And my mom was like, oh, okay, great. So then a few years down the road there, they got me my own drum set and started, playing in bands, having friends over and, like, jamming and, you know, playing shows around Long Island and just working my way up.
What was the first kit that you ever owned?
The first kit they bought me was a Pearl Export Series kit. It was a black drum set. Yeah, I remember. I think I probably sold it at this point. But yeah, it was a Pearl Export. That was my first kit.
Well, at least they got you something good. They didn't get you something.
Yeah.
it wasn't a Kmart kit or something.
No playful stuff.
So, Veronica, your drumming has a lot of groove in it. Who are some of your, like, drumming influences?
Oh, man, I have to say Igor Caballera. I like Carter Beaufort. I always love Dave Weckl playing. Danny Carey. Name a bunch, but those are probably the top ones right there.
So when did you start actually writing music and throwing some singing in there too?
Oh, wow. Well, I always kind of knew I could sing a little bit, but I was a bit embarrassed to, like, show people or sing in front of anyone. So it kind of started early on when I started playing guitar. I would write little songs just in my room by myself and not really present them to anyone, maybe my mom once in a while, maybe a friend, but it wasn't until later where I started recording music on my own. I want to say I was around 20-ish. I'd gotten a 4-track recorder from a friend and just started making, you know, some guitar tracks and making songs and singing and just kind of doing everything myself and then going into the studio and recording the songs, like making them real records, and it was really cool, and it was super fun to do for me, and it was a great outlet that was different than just playing drums behind a band. I liked that feeling and that passion behind writing music and lyrics too.
So let's talk a little bit about your career so far. There's so much, as we were talking about earlier. What were some of the bands and projects that you were working with and involved with prior to the whole Slam Group thing?
Prior to Slam, okay, I did work with a guitar player for a while. His name is Rob Balducci.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Queens native, I believe. He was signed to Favorite Nations Recording, which I think Steve Vai owns that label.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all instrumental music, kind of a progressive rock, you know, melodic, heavy instrumental music. And I played with him for about 3 years. That was like probably my first real like professional
mm-hmm.
type of group that I played with. We went to England, we toured in England, so I went there for the first time with him and got some touring experience. I think we toured in the States as well. It was cool. It was a great experience for me to really learn and see what touring was like and being around just the band members and, you know, being like the youngest and probably the only female, you know, it's something I had to get used to as well. But it was great. I had a blast doing it. So I would say, yeah, playing with Rob was a big step there before joining Carmine's group, Slam, which was a trip, super fun as well.
So tell us about that then. Yeah. Tell us about how you got the gig with Slam and then later on working with, you know, people like Jeff Beck.
Oh, that's a good question because it actually sort of ties in. Okay, so Slam, I was with a friend. I think I was at a nightclub somewhere in, like, Long Island with a friend of mine, Jamie, and we're just hanging out, and this dude comes up to me that I knew from just around. He's another drummer friend. His name is Dominic. He's like, yo, V, did you hear that Carmine Appice is looking for a drummer, specifically a female drummer for his group he's putting together? I was like, no, I don't think I knew about this, but, you know, let me know the contact info, and I'll reach out. So he gave me the contact info. I reached out. And at first they were like, oh, you know, we have everybody we need right now. You know, he couldn't actually find the girl that he liked, so we filled that position with somebody else who's another male drummer. But, you know, I'll let Carmine know that you reached out and, you know, maybe later on. I was like, oh, bummer, okay. But, he said, send a video that you have in anyway. So I had made a video to submit for this, which back then was not very easy to do because I think YouTube was, like, very early on, within its infancy. I don't even know if there were iPhones yet at that point. So I recorded this video with, like, a handheld camcorder type mm-hmm. thing. You know, like, took forever to upload onto the computer and, like, email someone, da-da-da. So it was, like, kind of a stressful, convoluted thing to, like, upload videos back then. But I did it, and I sent it in. So I think the next day or so, I get a call on my cell phone, and it's Carmine. He's like, hey, I saw your video. He's like, hey, you sound pretty good. What's going on? And I'm like, hey. I'm like, yeah, so what's going on? And it turned out he wanted me to come down and, like, jam with them. Kind of like audition, you know?
Right.
So long story short, I ended up being a cast member in that group. He wanted 5 people, but I think he included me, so that was 6, including a guitar player, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, that's how that happened. So now that video that I uploaded, I think I put it on YouTube. It's still up there, by the way. It's like one of the first videos that I uploaded. And it started getting a lot of hits. And some were positive, some were, like, kind of negative because I didn't really know what to, like, showcase. So I just started playing, like, really fast and just showing some chops and, you know, a little bit of groove, but not much. It was more like some choppy solo mm-hmm. reform kind of a thing. Carmine seemed to like it, so I got that gig out of it. I guess I was getting a bit discouraged when I was seeing some of the negative comments on the video, because, you know, I mean, the internet is like the Wild West.
Right.
People can post whatever they want, they can say whatever they want, people have no filters. And, you know, me, like, at the time, not being used to that, I didn't know how to feel about it. I was like, should I keep this video up here? Should I take it down? Don't know. Anyway, long story short, I decided to just keep it up because it had a lot of hits. And I was like, you know, screw it. I'll just deal with the negativity. And, you know, hopefully the people that like it, that will just manifest. So I kid you not, maybe in that week that I was deciding if I should take the video down, I get an email, and it says, message from Jeff Beck in my email. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I opened the email, and it said it was Jeff's management reaching out to me because Jeff had found me on YouTube and wanted to speak to me about possibly working together on a record and maybe some live stuff. And at first, I did not think it was real. So I was like, okay, well, here's my number. Tell Jeff to give me a call. And I was like, this isn't going to happen, you know? Like, 15 minutes later, I get a call, and it's from the UK. And it was Jeff. I'm like, holy shit. And we talked for, like, 20 minutes, and he wanted to meet with me and, you know, possibly work together on a new record. And I, like, could not believe it. Like, I'm talking to him. I'm trying to be, like, all composed. But in the back of my mind, I'm, like, freaking out. So I think I had asked him during the conversation. I was like, hey, like, how did you find me? Like, how, you know, what was the selling point for you to reach out to me? He's like, oh, I found this video that you had on YouTube. You were, like, doing all this staff stuff. It was great. It was so cool. And it was the same video that I was thinking about taking down.
Oh.
So, well, like, can you imagine? Like, if I took it down, it never would have happened.
Wow.
Like, just insane. Yeah, just, like, mind-blowing stuff just from that one decision, right? So that's how that happened.
So how was it like then? Now you're working with him, and did you say you were, like, he was putting together a new album too at the time?
Yeah, we met for lunch, I think, the first time in LA, and then it took some time to actually happen. Like, I think from we met to when we first got in the studio was like a year.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in the studio for a while. We wrote a bunch of songs. We did, I think, a cover or two as well. I think in March 2015, he took two of the songs that we had done and he put them on his Live in Tokyo album.
Mm-hmm.
as two bonus tracks, two studio bonus tracks. So I was really psyched to see that because it was been some years that we were working together and, you know, wasn't sure if he was going to release anything, but he ended up releasing those two songs. And it's cool because I'm actually singing on one of them as well. It was a cover that we did. It's called My Tiled White Floor, and the band was called Curve,
mm-hmm.
the original song. So we redid it and did our own thing. And there was another instrumental track that's called Tribal that's on there that I play drums on. So, yeah, if anyone wants to check it out, I think they're up on iTunes or YouTube or, you know, all the forums and mediums.
So when did the endorsements start rolling in?
Endorsements, well, my first endorsement was with Evan's Drumheads. I was actually playing with Rob Albucci at the time. It was like when I first started playing with him. But I did the Guitar Center drum off
mm-hmm.
one year. And I was like young. I was like 19 maybe at the time. And one of the reps was there at the, I think it was the store finals. And my rep, Steve Lobmeyer, I've known him since then. I mean, this is almost like, probably 16, 17 years I've known him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at that store. He was at that stage of the contest. And he just kind of came up to me and started talking. He's like, hey, my name's Steve. I'm from Evan Drumheads. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I'd never met, like, a rep before. So I was all excited. And I was like, should I send you a press kit? And he's like, he's like, I'll just send you a box of heads. Don't worry about it. I'm like, really, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'll put you on our roster. He's like, you're a great player. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. And we just had a relationship since then, long time. It was my longest standing endorsement. And I love them. They're a great company. They always take care of me. Their products are great. Steve's a great guy. So that's how that endorsement happened.
And who else are you endorsing? Yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry. No, I'm just going to say that some of the other companies that I work with now kind of stem from when I was playing with Jeff at the time, and I met a couple of companies at NAMM, and I ended up working with them as well, like Yamaha. I endorsed Yamaha drums, Big First Six, and Soul Tone Cymbals I've been with a while, actually, too. So actually, while I was playing with Rob, I met up with Soul Tone Cymbals as well, and I met them at NAMM. And they endorsed me at that time as well.
So tell us now about hooking up with, like, DMC. How do you go from Jeff Beck to...
Yeah, right. DMC, okay, so around the time, when the Jeff Beck thing happened, I was in a band, the band was called 13. We were signed to LL Cool J. It was L's label, his personal label that we were signed to. And you won't really find any music out because nothing ever came out. The band kind of broke up before anything really big happened, unfortunately. But through that situation, I think somebody from LL's camp let us know that Daryl was doing a solo project and was doing like a rock thing and wanted some songs. He was looking for music, for hooks, things like that. So me, as also a songwriter, I had written an instrumental and a hook and worked with a producer on this song, and we pitched it. We sent it in along with, I think, maybe another song or two, and Daryl D ended up really loving this one song. At the time, it was called Your Attention, but when we released it, he changed the title to Attention Please, and that's out as well. That came out in 2011. So he used the hook that I wrote, and we got a friend of mine, Pauly Perrette. If anybody watched the show NCIS, she was the lab girl on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she also sings and does music, so she ended up singing the hook on the track. Of course, Daryl did the verses, and that song was released. So it was really exciting. And at the time, he wanted to put a band. Oh, we shot a video for that song too. And he was like, "Yeah, I want to put a band together and do shows." I was like, "I play drums. I play drums. I'll play drums for you, dude." And he was like, "Great." So we met up. We shot a video for the song. So I was on drums for the song. I think the video might still be on YouTube unless someone took it down. It's kind of old by now. I'm not sure, but it's called Attention Please if you want to look for it. Yeah, and since then we ended up playing a lot together, playing a lot of shows, kind of formed this band, and eventually it became DMC and the Hellraisers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually working on releasing some new music right now.
Oh, cool.
So we're kind of in the mixing stage. We're going to release a video pretty soon. So that's cool too. That's going to be happening this year.
And those are a lot of fun videos to watch too. I mean, everybody looks like they're having such a great time when they're playing with him.
Oh, he is such a blast to play with, and what a great guy. I mean, completely down to earth, just loves music, loves rock. He really lets the band, he really lets us do our thing on stage. Like, he loves solos, he loves just getting into it. And it's cool, too, because he has his DJ play with us, Charlie Chan Soprano. He mm-hmm. is amazing. He's Run DMC's DJ. He plays with us, too, in the band. And so it's such a cool dynamic to have the DJ, you know, the scratch sound,
mm-hmm.
that kind of vibe mix in with the rock music. So it's so cool. It's a fun show. It's a lot of fun to watch. D's great. He tells stories on stage sometimes. it's a blast. Yeah, I love playing with him.
And now you also play a mean bucket, teaming up with Thomas Lang on a little bucket challenge. Do you ever still whip out a couple of buckets on tour and play on the sidewalks?
Not really on tour, no, I don't. But maybe I should, I don't know. Maybe I will one day.
So currently with Life of Agony, a band that started over 25 years ago, so tell us about how you got that gig and how it's been going for you so far.
Oh, yeah, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I've known Joe UC, the guitar player for Life of Agony, for quite some time. We were introduced through a mutual friend, and I don't know if you're familiar with the band Sworn Enemy.
Of course.
But the guitar player Jeff Cummings is a friend of mine and did a lot of work with Joey, guitar tech for him. So he's worked with Joey a lot and known him for a while. So I think it was at NAMM around 2010, somewhere around that time. I was hanging out with Jeff and a group of people. We were just at NAMM walking around, and Jeff was meeting up with Joey. And I remember at the time, Joey had like a guitar ad out in a magazine. I don't know which magazine it was, but I just remember that because Joey was like carrying it around, and he opened up to the page, and he had a guitar line out or something. So Jeff introduced us at NAMM, and just right off the bat, I was like, this dude has such a cool vibe. Like, what a nice guy. What a genuine person. You could just tell, you know. So we just kind of hit it off right away, became friends, and just started keeping in touch. And this was around the time where I was, like, just starting to play with Jeff. You know, I was in conversations with him. So, you know, I didn't really think anything like, yeah, I'm going to be in a band with Joey Z. I'm going to be in Life of Agony one day. Like, it wasn't anything about that at all. Like, not even the thought crossed my mind, you know?
Right.
But we just kind of kept in touch. He came to a couple of my drum clinics that I did in New York, and I went to his studio one day. We jammed just, you know, kind of for fun to hang out. And just kept in touch. I remember I moved to L.A., like kind of right after we met, or a year or two, and we would just stay in touch on the phone, whatever, catch up. And like one day, it was November 2017, I get a missed call from Joey Z. And I remember at that time, we haven't really spoken in a while, so when I saw the missed call, I was like, oh, Joey Z. I was like, that's so cool, he's calling me. But I had like a feeling that something was up. Mm-hmm. There was some meat behind this call. I just had like a feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we played a little phone tag. We got back on the phone, catching up a little bit. And then he was telling me how, you know, the band was, you know, coming to a certain point, and that they were probably going to move forward with a new drummer. And of course I was kind of surprised and shocked to hear that. I was like, oh wow, okay. But at the same time, I'm like, is this why he's calling me? Is he going to ask me to play in the band or something, or fill in? You know, I didn't know. And he was kind of getting to it. He was kind of getting to that as he was talking. And then at one point I'm like, Joe. He's like, yeah. I'm like, don't even call anyone else. The answer is yes. And he starts cracking up. And we're laughing, and we're just, he's like, oh, I was hoping you would say that. He's like, yeah, I just, you know, I thought of you kind of right away because we just have kind of hit it off, you know, in the studio, and I always wanted to play with you. I'm like, that's so amazing. So we set up a jam with the rest of the band in January that following year. So it was January 2018. I met up with the rest of the band at Joey's house, and we jammed at his studio. And that's how it happened. And like the next day, they call me and they're like, "You're in the band." So that's how that happened. And we ended up recording a new album, The Sound of Scars. Mm-hmm. It just got released in October 2019. Released a bunch of singles already. You know, did a bunch of touring, as you know. And it's been amazing. It's been wonderful playing with them.
Now, did you get to participate also in the writing process of The Sound of Scars?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how was that for you? Now you're helping to write for these guys.
Yeah, I know, it's wild. Well, there's a certain formula that they have. You know, Alan was always the main songwriter in the band, Alan, the bass player. So he would contribute most of the song seeds, as we call them. Mm-hmm. We'd have a folder that we would share on you know, Google Drive or Dropbox or something, and
right. He
would just put songs in there, just kind of rough, you know,
mm-hmm.
rough foundations, and then we would pick the ones we like, and we would get together, and we would play them live together, and just work out any extra parts, any specific, you know, things we want to change, or any grooves I want to change up, or kind of make my own. So that's how we would work, and there were a few song seeds that I contributed that one ended up being, you know, making the record and just the band kind of making their own as well. But we all really put a lot of input into each song. It's very much a group effort with a lot of it, with riffs, with melody, with grooves, the whole thing. Like, everybody's very talented in the band and has a lot of ideas. So we utilize that, like, to the max on this record. We really pushed each other, and I think the record is great, and I'm really happy with it. And I couldn't be happier about being a part of it.
So, Veronica, what's your current setup, and what gear do you use?
Okay, so, like I said, I play Yamaha drums.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing the Absolute Hybrid Maple series kit. And my setup right now is I have a 22-inch kick, I have a 12-inch rack tom, and I have two floor toms, a 14 and a 16. And right now I've been using my 14-inch brass recording custom snare. It's 5.5 inches deep, and it's amazing. It cracks. It really cracks. I love that snare. I use that snare. I also have the Musashi Oak snare that I really like. It's a 13, and it's, I believe it's 6 inches deep. That one sounds awesome, too. Those are my two favorite snares that I have from Yamaha. I love them. So those are the drums I use, and as far as cymbals, I have 14-inch hi-hats. Sometimes I switch. When I play with D, I use 13-inch hi-hats. And I have a 17 crash, 18 crash, 19 crash. I have a 19-inch China and a 21-inch ride.
So
and I have a couple little custom, like, slashes and things that I add to my kit here or there, too.
What's your favorite piece of gear? Do you have, like, a favorite piece? You sounded very endeared to your snares.
Yeah. I love that brass snare. And I have this custom-made flat, it's a flat cymbal that I have, I keep, like, above my hi-hat. It sounds like a bell, but it sounds like a trashy bell.
Mm-hmm.
That's my other favorite piece on my kit that I have. It was custom-made by Soul Tone for me. It's called the Raw Series. So it was like a cymbal line that they had made just for me.
Oh, cool.
And, it's super cool. It's just like a raw piece of metal. It's sort of flat and odd-shaped. You'll probably see it in some of the photos or videos online and stuff. But, yeah, that's a cool piece that I have.
So do you incorporate any special, you know, techniques into your style of drumming, and how would you describe your style?
special techniques? Not really. I just kind of go with it. I think I play how I always played, which is from the heart and with passion and with love. I always want to feel like people look at me when I play and they say, wow, she's really having a great time. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's enjoying herself. You know, that's how I always like to play and portray myself. So I just like to have fun out there. If I could describe my style, I don't know, but Mina, my singer, once said that made me laugh. She goes, yeah, I know you got the tribe in you a little bit. You got the tribe in you. Because I guess I have sort of like a, you know, maybe a tribal style of drumming. I don't know.
Well, it's definitely fun to watch you play. We do. When we watch you, we're all like, wow, she's really having a great time, no matter what band you're playing with, you know what I mean? Which is very important.
Right.
So it's more, you know, of course, you know, you enjoy doing it, and it's kind of like, well, I guess it's your job, but it's different when you really, really enjoy it with every band, you know? It's not like,
yeah,
I'm going to take a gig with this band so I could pay to get something for this band, but you enjoy it with every band, so it makes it really, really enjoyable to watch you.
Oh, yeah. And I like to have a good time, and especially with Life of Agony, we're a very tight group, and we have fun on tour, and you can tell on stage when you watch us that there's a dynamic there and there's a love there, and it's just like a, we just want it to be fun. I mean, we have fun. We have a blast, and I think the audience has a blast too. That's how the shows are.
Now, you have a big tour coming up. How do you prepare as far as practicing or any kind of special exercises before you go on tour?
I just practice. I'll practice some double bass exercises. I work out, and I try to incorporate my exercise into my drumming just to keep my endurance up and my stamina. So I'll lift weights. I'll, sometimes even before the show, I'll do some push-ups just to warm myself up. But yeah, I just, you know, put the click track on and I'll just play. Either I'll play the song, play the set a little bit, or I'll just do some exercises or play along to some music that I enjoy listening to. It's not like one specific thing, but no, I prepare probably how anyone else prepares. Just get on the kit and practice, and before the shows, take the practice pad out, warm up the hands a little bit. You know, that's, I guess that's it.
So when you're playing live, what do you do to make yourself comfortable while you're on stage?
Comfortable, like, in what way? Like,
I don't know, do you have, like, energy drinks nearby, or anything?
Just a lot of water. Mm-hmm. A lot of water. I just, like, in between a song, I can chug basically a whole bottle of water at once.
And now, do you do anything prior to, like, I know I've talked to a lot of drummers who are like, well, we eat bananas because there's something in there that's supposed to, you know, stop you from having, like, leg cramps and stuff like that. Do you do anything?
Oh, no. Well, I do stretch. Mm-hmm. I try to stretch before every show, stretch my legs out, my arms, get my body kind of in tune and ready to go. But I do have an odd ritual. It's kind of like an OCD thing, but I have to retie my shoes and double knot them right before I go on stage, no matter what. Like, if they're tied fine, I have to do it again, because it's a big pet peeve of mine. If my shoelace comes untied while I'm playing on stage, I cannot stand that. So I have to retie my shoes every time before every show.
That's not too bad. I could see a lot of people doing that too. I'd be like, if that comes untied and that lace is flying all over the place and it gets stuck in the pedal.
Or oh, yeah. Not too far-fetched, but yeah.
So Veronica, what is it about playing drums that makes you love to do it so much?
I think I just feel free. I can get in my zone. Just when you love doing something, you want to do it all the time. And that's how I feel when I play drums, and especially with my Life of Agony family and being on stage and the crowd being into it. It's just an energy and a vibration that's given off that there's nothing really like it.
So thank you, Veronica, for telling us a bit about your career and some of your bands. Life of Agony is heading out on tour, so you can check her out live on the road, or you can always check her many videos on YouTube. And Veronica, all the best in your career and the bright future in store for you.
Thank you so, so much.